Very good evening to you, Namibia, and faithful listeners of Eagle FM. I'm your host, Nafa Happy Juju, here to host Life Lessons right here on your number one talk radio station, that is Eagle FM. I welcome you to yet another session on Life Lessons, another interesting topic yet again, right here on a Saturday. Now, you know, we are always here for you from 1900 hours up until 2100 hours as we bring you yet another insightful topic related to whatever is happening in the society. Remember, the aim and the goal is to make society a better place for us to thrive and to live in, and of course for us to live in harmony together. Now tonight we're talking marriage, okay? And you know, this is Life Lessons. We cover everything, anything, whatever in between, at the beginning, at the end, and all that. Now tonight we're talking about tips for a fruitful and lasting marriage. And I sure hope that those who are married and aspiring to get married, or perhaps things didn't go so well, well, you're all welcome to tune in. I hope that you've told a friend and invited a friend, or you know that particular person that loves marriage topics. I want to make sure that, you know, they continuously keep on feeding themselves so that, and educating themselves. You know, it's just like university, or it's just like school. You know, it's a life learning journey. I feel like marriage is particularly the same thing, because at the end of the day, you need to refresh yourself. You need to remind yourself on things that you ought to do, things that you ought not to do, or things that you should be doing better. And I'm joined tonight in studio by a wonderful man whom I told him that this is a topic that I know he's very dear to his heart. So I'm joined in studio by Mr. Paulus Hawanga, who is the executive director at Namibia Marriage Council. Good evening, Sain. It's a pleasure to have you in studio.
Good evening, good dear listeners. And, yeah. Really, I'm also excited. I looked forward to being in the studio live.
Yeah.
Usually, we are just looking out to each other on the phone.
Exactly.
But today, here we are.
Yeah.
Happy.
Yes.
Your name tells
it all. Thank you so much. Yeah. You know, I was actually saying that this is, I know that apart from education, parents in
education.
Say it for me properly.
National Organization of Parents in Education.
Yes.
NAOPE.
Yeah. He's also the founder of NAOPE. Perhaps you're wondering, wait, but I thought he's related to education. Mm-hmm. He's also very much interested in marriage stuff, and advocating for good marriages. And yeah, I do appreciate that. Now, before I do get into anything else, I first want to find out, where did the love and the desire, you know, to advocate for marriage related stuff actually stem from, Mr. Paulus?
You know, I really from the onset, I have to say,
yeah,
we have to thank God, because God has already wired each and every one of us.
Yeah.
Jeremiah 29 verse 11 says, His plan is to prosper.
Yes.
He already destined us for prosperity.
Yeah.
But he said, but the plan of the world, the enemy indeed, of course, is to harm.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a reality of life. And this is how it came about. Because yeah. I found myself, by then I was still at the campus at Polytechnic by then, which is NAST.
Yeah, yeah.
I was in the student council. And there's for information publicity, and I was also SRC president.
Okay, you know, really?
Yes. it happened that I was so engaged in a number of issues that affected students.
Yeah.
And I came to realize, I said, no. Remember the year during the very good leadership of our president by then, Ifike Punye Pohamba.
Yeah, yeah.
Issues of gender-based violence was really a great concern.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, there was even a day of prayer.
Yes.
Yes.
So,
yes. And I was then the student president, the SRC president. Mm-hmm. I was really troubled because students of campus, we would hear one is stoned and things are happening, gender-based violence.
Yeah, yeah.
And I said, no. I also, one of the citizens who was concerned, like many of us were until today.
Yeah.
I said, no, what should we do? You know, I was inspired by Women Action for Development.
Okay.
And also Men for Change.
Okay.
And I was saying, okay, Women Action for Development, Men for Change.
Yeah.
And I said, why don't we do something that brings men
and women together?
Because the issue of concern here,
yeah,
is about gender-based violence.
Mm-hmm.
Then I that's why I have to glorify the Lord for the passion that He really gave me on this aspect of marriage.
Yeah.
Because I then came to realize that, no, most of the people who are involved in gender-based violence are people who are in so being referred to a relationship, romantic.
Mm.
And most of the cases were domestic. violence.
Mm-hmm.
And then I said, okay, what is the problem?
Mm.
Why don't we bring harmony between a man
and
a
woman,
in such a manner
where
God, you know, I'm a believer.
Yes, so, I'm a believer too. Yeah, well, so I get your language.
So I pray about this. I said, no, God, we should bring harmony. We should bring peace, lasting peace, your peace between men and women.
Mm.
And when we're praying, you know what I did?
Mm-hmm.
I called in the student council. I said, we are going to call for a campus prayer day.
Ooh,
I believe up today, I thank God for the life of our dean, by the dean of students.
What's his name?
Dr.
Donovan? Shimbuli at the time. She said, IUM now. I don't know if she's retired now.
Yes, we wish she was a wonderful
lady. Yeah, I've met a wonderful lady.
A student council, she was our mother.
Okay.
Then we made a proposal to her, so my leadership as student, as a president.
Mm-hmm.
Said, no, we want to summon students to come for a prayer day on gender-based violence. You know, and I said, no, what are we going to do? We must bring in an ambassador or a patron for this day.
Yeah.
And we invited our then the Honorable Minister of Health, Mama Petrina Ngura.
Okay.
You know, that's how the fire began to burn.
Okay.
Then I said, okay, the best way, after prayers, after the campus prayer,
yeah,
I actually instigated that the prayer should reach out to all other student campuses.
Oh.
And then coming from home,
yeah,
I was in a relationship too.
Mm.
And I actually just got married.
Uh-huh. You had just gotten married.
Just got married. I got married when I was 26 years.
Okay.
My wife was 23.
Okay.
We just made actually our 20th
wedding anniversary. Oh, my goodness. You know, congratulations.
The Lord,
This is the right guest for this topic.
Yes. So, this is how actually it came up. I said, no, I spoke to my wife.
Mm-hmm.
I spoke to my spiritual mentors. I said, the best way to bring harmony between a man and a woman in a relationship,
mm-hmm,
it should be between a husband and a wife.
Yeah.
That's when I began now to take an initiative to start writing the vision.
Mm.
And then I pray to bring in people like our former Honorable Governor of Kavango East Region. He was actually the Kavango Region Governor, Dr. Samuel Kaveto Mbambo.
Okay.
And then I approached him. Then we started bringing some couples. And that's how Namibia Marriage Council came about.
I see.
You see, and the prayer day actually was a jump starter.
Okay.
Then from there we started to say, no, if we can go out and reach out to as many husbands and wives, appeal to them for an effective parenting of our children, then we will have great children of tomorrow. Because a child of today is a husband tomorrow.
Mm.
A child of today is a wife.
Is a wife tomorrow.
Is an uncle.
Yes.
Is an auntie.
Yes.
Is a leader.
Yes.
That's it. But if husband and wife will just really honor God in marriage,
mm-hmm,
will truly, God will come through. Mm-hmm. Because only we wanted God to be involved.
Yes.
Said, okay, then we should advocate for a godly marriage.
Mm. Because at the end of the day, he's the creator of the marriage. He's the institute of marriage. So it doesn't make sense when we leave him out and want to have a fruitful marriage.
That was 2017. No, 2007.
Yeah.
Pardon me, 2017.
Mm-hmm.
When the Honorable Minister of Gender Equality, Child Protection and Social Welfare.
Mm-hmm.
By then, Honorable Doreen Sioka, she responded positively to our invitation.
Mm-hmm.
She came to Kavango East,
mm-hmm,
and we officiated the organization. So it's 8 years now.
Oh.
Yes, we've made 8 years anniversary of the Namibia Marriage Council. Oh. So what we do, we conduct marriage enrichment seminars, relationship enrichment seminars, pre-marriage, like end of August, dear listeners, end of August, we are committing the last week of August.
Yeah.
We are going to have a very committed program on pre-marriage seminar.
Interesting.
Because we want really people to enter in marriage with full understanding, especially on the Namibian portrait of marriage.
I don't think I've ever heard about pre-marriage seminars. Of course, I've heard about marriage seminars, but That's something very interesting. At the end of the day, when people are entering stuff, you know, a lot of people enter marriage. We don't know what we are getting into. Exactly. You know, it's all butterflies. You expect it all to be perfect. And then reality hits you. Wait, your husband snores. He's leaving socks at the door. Hi, you didn't call for this.
We are here to speak about the fruitfulness of marriage after marriage. And these things happen to pops up. I'm sure you are going to guide me.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah. Those are the things which are trying to spoil the fruits.
Yeah, that's true.
Yes, but I can assure you, dear listeners, marriage is a beautiful thing.
Yeah, ne?
Only Hosea chapter 4 verse 6 says, for lack of knowledge, for lack of understanding, for lack of prepared readiness.
Yes, yes, yes.
You know, I think we are there.
Yeah. Now that you say that, I want to believe that marriage needs a manual. You know, people get married, but then there's a manual also to it that sometimes I think we are not, aware of things that we ought to do, things that we ought not to do, things, certain things that perhaps should done, be done a certain way. But let me leave that to you. So exactly, as we are talking about tips for a fruitful, for a lasting, and fruitful marriage. What exactly are we referring to? What is those particular things that perhaps, I don't know whether you want to break it down looking first at the wife and then the husband, or you want to combine everything, but yeah.
You know, first of all, as I was preparing for this session, I prayed.
Ah, okay.
I seek the guidance of the Holy Spirit, as always. Yeah. And I actually have to thank you, dear listeners, and happy for and the leadership of this radio for being able to reach out. For me, as ordinary citizen out there, coming into a city, you just say, wow, come through. You know, I want to thank you and the leadership of the radio for allowing me to come through.
Okay.
Dear listeners, we are going to have an exciting moment. I'm so pleased to be here.
Yeah.
All the glory be unto our Heavenly Father who made it possible. This is because for lack of knowledge and understanding about even on the basic definition of marriage, take a moment and go out there and do a basic research, interview couples, married, seasoned couples, and just to ask them a simple basic understanding of what marriage is, you will get a number of versions. This is why I want to say why I'm excited about this program. Because there were moments when I was also like in wilderness about this institution of marriage.
Yeah.
Especially when I wanted to join the rest, even His Excellency by then, to make sure that we combat gender-based violence and eradicate in our country as much as we could. Then in that way of trying to find a lasting solution, I came to realize that there is what we should know as a Namibian portrait of marriage. Why? Because people enter marriage, as much as we anticipate and expect it to overwhelm us in terms of being in you know, I'm going to share a little bit on seasons in marriage. Spring. You know, that it's just going to be all over beautiful flower, season of just merry, joyful. Marriage was not created, was not done like it. It was never intended to be like that. There are seasons in marriage.
True.
And for not, if we lack understanding of what truly, what marriage is and what entails, what is expected of us as husbands and wives in marriage, then truly we'll miss out on the fruits, the wonderful seasons of a divine, a heaven on earth marriage. That is how it was meant to be. The Namibian portrait of marriage, I came about this because I happened to encounter the teaching on the biblical portrait of marriage by Bruce Wilkinson. He's one of my resourceful, I'm actually a dean of the Bible School on the Wheel.
And
it also teaches thoroughly on the biblical portrait of marriage. And then I came to realize, then we should be able as Namibian understand the Namibian portrait of marriage. You know, we need to understand the Namibian portrait of marriage will then bring us to our enlightenment to understand that there is a civil marriage as we know it in our country. legally binding. I could say the one and only recognized marriage in Namibia.
Yeah.
That is a civil marriage. That is that we go to the magistrate, and we get married by law in the court.
Mm-hmm.
The magistrate does that, and you find another portrait of marriage, which is the customary marriage.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we as Namibia, we are a beautiful nation with diverse cultural background, customary way of life.
Yeah.
So this is also another portrait of marriage. And this customary portrait of marriage, it's also in its own form according to your respective culture. And then we have also to understand another portrait of marriage, which is a holy matrimony, which is a godly marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And then I've come to qualify one category.
Okay.
An infinitive one.
Okay.
Which I refer as a .com marriage.
Okay.
This .com marriage is actually the newly defined form of marriage. Some are still coming.
Okay.
New form, new design kind of marriages.
Uh-huh.
Now, when we get married, before we even talk about the fruitfulness of marriage, which marriage are we talking about?
Mm.
Is it a civil marriage? Is it a godly marriage?
Mm-hmm.
Is it a customary marriage? If it's a customary marriage,
mm-hmm.
as I'm speaking, I'm a Kwangali speaking. I'm we have our customary way of how we marry, how you should propose for marriage, how you should marry, how you should maintain the marriage according to our culture.
Mm-hmm.
You find my brother, my sister of a Herero speaking, you know, Etswana, and so on and so on.
Mm-hmm.
They have their own cultural, customary portrait of marriage.
Mm-hmm.
The fruitfulness of marriage in that culture is not the same as of my culture.
Mm-hmm.
You see, so that's why we need to understand these things before we say it, my marriage is fruitful. One will want to know which type of marriage are we talking about.
Mm.
Now, in the fruitfulness of marriage in a godly way,
mm-hmm.
which is a holy matrimony,
mm-hmm.
is not according to the way of the other type of marriage, like civil marriage.
Mm-hmm.
This is what actually is even fueling domestic violence. And generally, for lack of understanding, people just get into marriage without a firm agreement or the vow of their marriage. Why am I saying this? Because the Bible says, "You shall reap what?
What you sow.
What you sow.
Yeah.
What kind of a marriage have you planted?
Okay.
You see, I think basically this is how we should also look at it when we are talking about fruitfulness in marriage."
Mm-hmm.
Then we should be able to align ourselves and define those portraits of Namibian marriage that I've just indicated.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe there might be some.
Yeah.
But how do you define marriage? It also depends on what kind of a portrait of marriage that you subscribe to.
Okay. Now, I have a question. Before God, is customary marriage, civil marriage, godly marriage all recognized or how? What is your definition of that?
You know, marriage, there is no any authentic. There's no marriage that any man can justify.
Okay.
That can define and can be a fruitful marriage than that which God himself has instituted.
Okay.
But that is a divine marriage.
Okay, so I ought to understand
this
something.
Marriage, even you see, a godly marriage.
So a godly marriage cannot be a civil marriage or how?
No. You know, this is why I was saying, for lack of understanding of this thing, that's why our marriage, we are saying marriage is not working.
Okay.
Some people don't even want to get married because they feel like, for what purpose if all these things are happening?
Okay.
When we hear about incidents happening about gender-based violence, domestic violence, child neglect, dumping of babies, all these things, we are concerned. You know, this is all because we are not lacking to understand the institution of marriage.
Yeah.
So, civil marriage,
mm-hmm.
is far from godly marriage.
Mm-hmm.
You know why?
Why?
You see, I'm having a manual here that I can be able to guide ourselves on quickly.
Okay.
I really appreciate what our legal assistance center, what they did to come up with the guide.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Guide to a civil marriage.
Mm-hmm.
I have a, dear listeners, those who are able to have access to internet.
Mm-hmm.
Just Google it. You find it.
Yeah.
Civil marriage is speaking about a marriage where a husband and a wife are equal.
Mm-hmm.
Civil marriage book is speaking about more on in community, out of community properties.
Yeah.
You know, and it's speaking about the custodian of children in terms of where the marriage at this certain stage that the separation or so on.
Yeah.
But as far as godly marriage is concerned,
mm-hmm.
the husband is the head of his wife.
Okay.
And the wife is a helper to the husband.
Okay.
You see already how far already civil marriage from a godly marriage.
Mm.
Leave alone the aspect of property regime. You know, where we are talking about the inheritance.
Mm-hmm.
In a godly marriage, it does not concern God. God is concerned with our heart of faithfully serving Him.
Yeah.
In the call of the institution of marriage. Because according to God, marriage is a ministry. It's a calling.
It is. Okay.
So civil marriage uh-huh. and godly marriage is a different vow.
Okay.
Even when we say we go in a civil, in a magistrate, even our legal practitioner will tell you. You can go through this manual, will tell you.
Yeah.
There's a lot of guidelines on civil marriage, which in a very confronting position with the godly principle for marriage.
Mm.
But when we, for us believers,
mm-hmm.
for us, we believe that God from the beginning,
mm-hmm.
the design of God's nature, creation, in Genesis chapter 1,
mm-hmm.
you hear when God designed everything, when he came to the human being, he perfected his will.
Mm-hmm.
So no man can perfect the will of creating a human being apart from what God has already instituted.
Okay.
The same with marriage. So now, what we are doing now, in our own wise ways, we are trying to redefine marriage in a way that it suits us.
Mm, modern type of marriage.
Yes.
I have a question. In terms of civil marriage, I know that civil marriage makes room for divorce and remarriage. For a godly marriage, does it make provision for that?
Yes. You know, in the book of Matthew chapter 19, verse 4,
mm-hmm.
our Lord Jesus Christ was approached by the Pharisees.
Mm-hmm.
These are learned people.
Mm-hmm.
They were trying actually to engage him on the issues of marriage. That on what condition can you divorce? Because Moses allowed divorce to be granted when there is issues for any reason, you know. For any reason that they were justifying for divorce, Moses allowed people to be issued with a divorce letter.
Mm-hmm.
Matthew chapter 19
verse
4. And Jesus answered and he said, it was not meant to be
uh-huh.
like that from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Which beginning is he referring to? It's Genesis chapter 2, verse 18.
Okay.
Actually, you can go into that is a detail of marriage.
Yeah.
But in Genesis chapter 1, in the whole creation, you also find that Jesus was referring from Genesis, from the beginning,
mm-hmm.
how marriage was designed to be. So what am I trying to basically answer in this case is that as far as God is concerned, actually Jesus said in that verse
mm-hmm.
that because of the hardening of your hearts, of our hearts.
Yeah.
That's why Moses went ahead to grant them to issue each other divorce letter. But he said it was not meant, which means it was not designed to be like that from the beginning.
Okay.
This is the reason why Jesus actually is saying, he continued and he said,
mm-hmm.
because of, according to the will of God from the beginning, he's saying, therefore, the man shall live the father and the mother, and to be joined to his wife. Even when you talk about this issue of polygamy and so on,
mm-hmm.
it's not, apparently in the Bible, it was there in the Old Testament. Yes, it was practiced, but it was not meant to be like that.
Okay.
You see, and that's basically it.
Okay.
So now, according to God, on the basis of divorce,
mm-hmm.
Jesus was saying, if you harden your heart, you can divorce
mm-hmm.
on the basis of adultery.
Mm-hmm.
If you cut your spouse on adultery.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? This Jesus was teaching when he was with us.
Mm-hmm.
But when he was crucified in our place,
mm-hmm.
he declared forgiveness.
Exactly.
In Matthew chapter 6, verse 14,
mm-hmm.
Jesus is, after he was teaching our Lord's Prayer, this is himself. He said we must, forgiveness must be supreme.
Yeah, exactly.
Even in our prayer.
Because so I feel like,
yes, you have to forgive.
Because at the end of the day, actually, adultery is a sin like any other. So if you can divorce your wife because she committed adultery, then you can also divorce your wife because she gets angry. You can also divorce your wife because she cries a lot. You can also divorce your wife because, she swears. Or you can also divorce your wife because, I don't know, for some reason she's, a witch. But you will not, if God gave, that room to say you can divorce your wife because of adultery, mm-hmm. then that means for every other sin you can also divorce, but it's yes. not so now.
Yes.
So I do appreciate that point that you brought out to say yes. on the basis of forgiveness. Mm. So divorcing a wife or a husband or on the basis of adultery,
mm-hmm.
I don't think that stands this on this now in day in terms of a godly marriage.
Exactly.
Now I also want to bring out Romans chapter 7 verse 2-3. Mm. It says, for the woman which hath an husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. Verse 3 says, so then if while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. Now you get a lot of people that justify divorce on the grounds of adultery. But I do appreciate the fact that you brought out for the hardening of your heart.
Yes. You see, I just took my note here that I prepared.
Okay.
Exactly on the part of divorce.
Thank you.
You know, termination of marriage contract.
Okay.
Covenant, marriage covenant.
Mm-hmm.
You see, death of one person frees the other.
Yes.
To remarry.
Yeah.
Death. This is according to Romans chapter 7, verse 2-3.
The one I read.
Yes, that's the one you read.
Yeah.
Awesome. First Corinthians chapter 7,
yes.
verse 39.
I'll read it.
Yes. So you can read it.
Yes, please.
Yes.
First Corinthians
chapter 7, verse 39.
Verse 39 mm-hmm. says, because, you know, we have to produce the facts. Now, the wife is bound by the law as long as her husband liveth. But if her husband be dead, she is at liberty to be married to whom she will only in the Lord. Okay?
Underline that one. Only in the?
In the Lord. What does that actually mean? Only in the Lord.
That is why there's a godly marriage.
Uh-huh.
That is too close of any other portrait of marriage which does not glorify the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
You see, because marriage was meant according to Hebrews chapter 13, if I quote it well.
Okay.
I think I'll get the scripture. Marriage is honorable. It's for God's honor.
Yeah.
Now, anything that we do in marriage that does not honor God mm-hmm. is the reason why we are not bearing fruit in our marriage.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Because without
God. No, say that again. Anything that we do that does not honor God.
Does in marriage.
Yes.
Which does not honor God.
Yes.
Basically, you are doing something that's in contradiction with the standard of God's design of marriage.
Uh-huh.
It does not give God the glory. Yeah. Let me continue on the aspect of, because our listeners, I know they will want also answer of divorce.
Yeah, yes, please.
And it says, of course, we were saying only one spouse.
Mm-hmm.
If the one spouse passed on,
mm-hmm.
then the other one is at liberty to remarry.
Yeah.
A believer is free if an unbelieving spouse leaves.
No.
Are you seeing that?
I don't agree with that one.
Yes, it is. You know what?
How does that nullify the first point?
You see,
uh-huh.
when you marry, the first point you get married.
Yeah.
Both of you, whether you are, both of you are, you are.
You are unbelievers.
You are believers, both of you. Because we are speaking about a godly marriage in terms of divorce.
Yeah.
On this point of a believer to be free when the non-believing spouse leave, the believing spouse is not allowed to divorce.
Absolutely.
Until death, because it's what the standard is, what the word of God says.
Yes, yes.
The believing spouse will remain in that marriage.
Yeah.
Like the first point that we said.
Yes.
Until the other spouse leaves.
Yes.
Passed on.
Yes.
But the non-believing spouse,
uh-huh.
you know, this is the reason why we are doing pre-marriage training.
Okay.
To enlighten the would-be couple to really understand that. What kind of a marriage are they subscribing to?
For? Mm-hmm.
If it's a godly marriage, mm-hmm. we should already tell them. Are you a believer? You know how many people have went before the altar of the Almighty, before the servant of God, in the presence of their parent, even with their godparents, without believing?
Yes.
They're exchanging vows, but they are not believers.
I did the same.
Because believing,
I got married and I'm a believer.
and this is where the enemy is taking advantage. That's why, one reason why.
Yeah.
Our marriages are not fruitful.
True.
Are not fruitful today.
Yes.
We are not bonding, as God says, live. We are not even living.
Yeah.
Because living means you live your old ways.
Mm-hmm.
How many marriages today are not bearing fruits because they are struggling to live their old ways. Their old friends.
Mm-hmm.
They are still...
And you don't live your old ways because you don't see anything wrong with it. Because you are not a believer. You understand?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, and that's why we are struggling to bond.
Mm-hmm.
A marriage where a spouse, be the husband and wife, did not live according to God's commandment, will struggle to cleave.
That's so true.
Will struggle to bond.
I appreciate that. You know what? There's this scripture that says, if the foundation be out of course, what is the hope of the righteous? If you started on the wrong foundation, then what's the hope? What again?
You see, that's why Matthew chapter 7 verse 24 is one of my favorite scripture.
Yeah.
It really, it's describing about the foolish and the wise builder.
Ah.
A foolish and a wise builder.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the same also the standard in terms of marriage.
Mm.
And this scripture actually is detailing to say, if you, whatever you do in your life, if it does not honor God, if it's not according to the standard of God's will, word, God's commandment, it says like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. When the wind come, when the flood come, and hit against that house, what a great crash. A disgraceful one. And the scripture further went on and it says, but the wise one is the one who builds on the rock. That one, everything he does it according to the will, the standard, the commandment of God.
Yeah.
This is why we are not enjoying marriage today. Because we want to live, to marry. We want to prepare for wedding without preparing for marriage. We are in marriage, which we never prepared for.
Yes.
And what we are doing in the institution of marriage is not what it was designed to be.
That's true.
That's why no matter what the society say about marriage, marriage is an institution, a divine one, a God design one. And you know, I was also picking this concept when I was preparing that. You have heard the wise word where they said, if you take the fish out of the water and put it on the dry land, what will happen to the fish?
It will die.
It will die. And they said, because why? And if you uproot a plant, no matter how you love that flower, you uproot that plant off the ground. And you put it on the upper weights off from the ground. Uproot and the roots are out. And you put it on a dry table somewhere, place somewhere. Do you think that tree is going to live? It's going to dry. So it is the same with marriage. Why? Because from the Genesis, from the way God created the law of nature according to the divine will of God, the fish was created to be in the water. The plant have to absorb its food, nutrition food, from the ground.
Yeah.
It must be watered on the ground.
Yeah.
If you uproot it and water it off the ground, it will not absorb, it will not enjoy that water. So it's the same with marriage. Marriage was designed by God in the Garden of Eden. In the Garden of Eden means in the presence of God. So the moment you take marriage and you define it, you redesign it, you amplify it in your own best way of life, and it does not, it's not been lived according to the standard of the commandment, the word of God, justify it. It will never work. It will dry. You are taking the fish out of the water. You are uprooting the plant off the ground.
Yeah.
It will dry. Yeah. This is the reason why there's no fruits in our marriage today.
I hear you.
This is the only reason we're just fine today to say marriages, there's no reason for marriage. And today many people are even advocating to say it is well to go for polygamy. I just look at them, I said, okay, you know, you see, when you are advocating for polygamy, let me tell you, I'm a customary man. I love my culture.
Yeah.
I love my culture.
Yeah.
because I know my culture, my customary, the way my tradition mm-hmm. is from God.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have the authenticity
mm-hmm.
of my culture. Where did I get it? It's from God. There's no culture that exists. It's a gift of God.
Yeah.
But now we take that culture, that life, that our way of life, away from the glory of God. And then now, in the Bible, in the Old Testament, there were those who were very wise, including Solomon.
Yes, yes.
They
yes.
justified the polygamy.
Mm-hmm. 700 wives and 300 concubines.
Look at the end of it. It's not the topic of today, but
yes.
I should cement it.
Mm.
Now, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It's a cul-de-sac. You know a cul-de-sac? Mm-hmm. Of course, when you are driving,
yeah.
you want to reach
goes
at one
no
point,
mm-hmm.
you come and no way. And if you come by speed without reading the sign,
mm-hmm.
you will crash in the cul-de-sac. It's dangerous.
Yes.
Now, what I'm trying to say is this. Polygamy, it was not the design of God for marriage. It's because of the hardening of our hearts.
Mm.
We can justify it by old time it worked.
Mm.
It worked because we lacked some way.
Mm.
Hosea chapter 4 verse 6.
And who said it worked?
Apparently because in the old days it worked. And you know what how we are trying to justify some time?
Yeah.
We are raising this point on this discussion, dear listeners,
mm-hmm.
because we want to say marriage must be fruitful.
Yes.
You know, in polygamy,
yeah.
Now, they are just saying, I was reading the other article in our beautiful article in the newspapers.
Yeah.
And they were saying some commentators, they were commenting to say, as long as you can provide. Now I'm saying, as long as the man can provide.
Provide what?
You know that today, the wife can earn more than the husband.
Mm-hmm.
Now, can the wife now earn more? Can justify to say, I can provide for more than one man.
Exactly.
So, because if the man can provide for more than one wife, why can't I not provide for more than one?
As a woman. Provide for more than
One husband.
Exactly.
Because the Bible is saying, do to others. That
what
which you think they cannot
you.
Do to you.
Mm.
That quote is actually biblical.
Mm-hmm.
So this is why we are saying, if you cannot do it for another person,
mm-hmm.
if you as a husband, you cannot allow
yeah.
your wife
to
double with another man,
uh-huh.
then don't even try it.
Exactly.
Because it's not going to be a fruit.
No, it's not. While we are at that point, you know
I
what?
Know listeners will come in, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
And
while we are at that point,
yes.
men are very selfish. Let's look at...
Not all of them.
I'm so sorry. Some men are very selfish. Now, in terms of that, while we are at that point, in the instance where this man says he's going to have two wives and he will be providing, he's talking in provision here, he's talking in terms of physical food and, caring for the children, whatnot. But hold on.
Yes.
Now, let's make a scenario where this man has a plate of food. You have a plate of food. You can only eat enough for your stomach.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a plate of food. I can only eat enough for my stomach. And now you bring in another person. You are now saying, I must share my plate of food. And now I'm talking in terms of sexuality mm-hmm. with another woman.
Mm-hmm.
You are going to satisfy yourself there as a man. But who's telling you, who told you that I'm getting satisfied by the fact that you are sleeping with another person who is your second wife? Tonight you are in the same bed with me. Tomorrow you are in the same, in another bed with, Julia, my co-wife partner.
Mm-hmm.
But who say that I'm not interested in having you in the same bed with me at that time? So at that particular point, in that scenario, in that angle, that's being selfish because as much as we men also want to be satisfying themselves sexually, women also need to be satisfied sexually. So in a way you are dividing their attention in the bedroom with another person, that's just not right.
Exactly. You see, there's so much content and enlightenment that we can share that can justify that.
Mm-hmm.
It polygamy will not be fair.
Will not work.
You know, there is Jerry Chapman, if I quote him well, his name,
mm-hmm.
he taught about the love languages,
mm.
the five love languages.
Okay.
You see, spending quality time together,
mm.
word of affirmation, physical touch, gift, and which one is this one? The fifth one, I'll bring it now. The listeners will help me.
Yeah.
You see, now, how will you speak this language?
Yeah.
Because every person has got their strong love languages.
Ah.
Now, how will you satisfy them?
Uh-huh.
You know how many people are in marriage and they are not enjoying sexual intimacy.
Exactly. That's a point that we'll come to. We have a commercial break coming up.
Awesome.
Stay tuned.
Get all your essential products for just 99 Namibian dollars at DUSAVE. 1 kilogram each of Rice King Rice, Top Score or Bokomo Super Maize Meal, Sugar King White or Brown Sugar, 500 grams Pasta Polana or Pasta King, and 750 milliliters Right Brand Sunflower Seed Oil. All 5 products for only 99 Namibian dollars. You save. I save. Yes, we all save at DUSAVE. No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
And we are back, and of course we are talking about tips to a fruitful and lasting marriage. And Mr. Paulo Zwanga is just trying to lay the foundation with us right here. You were busy speaking about the 5 languages of love, I think, before we left off.
Yes.
Kindly do that, and then we move to closing the chapter of divorce so we can get into more stuff
you
regards
know,
to marriage.
I tell you, in my own testimony of 20 years in marriage, in a godly marriage.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm legally married.
Okay.
In terms of civil, but I subscribe to a godly marriage because of, in terms of my faith.
Mm-hmm.
And my culture is well protected in that.
Yeah.
I still eat my mutete and wear my rudebe. You know, I still dance my drums.
Mm.
Yes, I eat my traditional food and I can dance my tradition. But I'm in a godly marriage, honoring my culture in that.
Mm.
But you see what? For the 20 years, even many of those who are married to one wife, they are still struggling to make sure that season in, season out, they maintain, they express deliberately their spouse love language.
Yeah.
Like I said, every spouse, be it a husband or wife, it does not matter on which part, every spouse, because it differs from personality. So some spouses, they feel so much loved, and even their intimacy in terms and bonding this marriage, as long as their love language being expressed as often, as much as and deliberate by their spouse, they enjoy their marriage as heaven on earth.
Yeah.
You see, to some, a strong love language will be maybe quality time.
Yeah.
Or gift, buying them gift.
Yeah.
Or word of affirmation.
Okay.
Or for you to physical touch.
Mm-hmm.
That's why you see, somebody got it wrong. You see a spouse there, they are in their hands, and they are just kulidiganesa. They play together.
Mm-hmm.
Now you see, oh, this is my wife. We cannot even play. Can't you see others? They make jokes and no. People are not, we are not wired the same.
Exactly.
Now, the point I'm trying to say is this.
Mm-hmm.
If we, for the past 20 years that I am married, many other couples who have lived longer than that in their marriages can tell you, a one wife, you are trying by all means to make sure that you can satisfy in terms of expressing.
Or satisfying his, their five.
Satisfying their
five,
love language.
Yeah.
Because they will not be all 5.
Ah, okay.
No. To some spouse. Hey, if you have a spouse whose love language is being expressed in all 5, you actually it might be easy to go, because any expression you give might press a right button for them to be joyful. And then you see, to some, only maybe 2 or 3. But most wives, by the way women are designed by
wired.
Are wired.
Yeah.
word of affirmation.
Okay.
You should speak out. Uh-huh. You should confess it.
You're so beautiful. Don't just, I like your beautiful dress. Imagine I'm wearing a new dress and it doesn't compliment it.
Heaven truly. Yeah. Still missing an angel. Uh-huh. You know?
See now.
Those kind of words. You know those expressions. You're beautiful. Mm-hmm. Your smile is, an amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I've never seen such a smile in this whole world.
Mm.
I've traveled the whole world, but your smile.
Ah, that one is a lie.
No. It can't be a lie. Just say it. You know, you have to.
And then you'll be like, my husband, you're lying to me.
And it must, no. If it's her love language.
Yeah.
Wow.
She will know.
She will know. So what I'm trying to say is that.
Yeah.
Why our marriages are not bearing as much fruits.
Mm.
Because I don't want us to finish the session without emphasizing this time. What we are talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Being fruitful. Your marriage to be fruitful.
Mm-hmm.
We have to understand that there are seasons in marriage.
Mm.
There is also spring, summer, autumn, and winter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the four seasons in marriage, Jerry Chapman is a good author. He also wrote on these four seasons in marriage.
Okay.
So now, your marriage can be in winter. Some people are divorcing when their marriage are in winter. You know why?
Mm.
Why are they divorcing?
Why?
Because they don't know the strategies. The strategy to get out of winter. Uh-huh. Winter means a season of problem, sickness, rejection. Uh-huh. Everything you are doing is like, it's just not working out.
Yeah.
All the smiles and all the good, all the love language you want to express, like, it's just not going.
Yeah.
You know what? That's the time you go back to the drawing board.
Mm-hmm.
You must make sure you speak louder in your love language of your spouse.
Okay.
Then immediately you are in spring. You know, some marriages are so long in winter.
Mm-hmm.
Winter, cold.
Mm-hmm.
Everything you are doing is like it's not working out. You don't know. Did I got married to a wrong person?
Yeah,
no.
Yeah.
You know why? You need, that's why a godly marriage is the authentic marriage.
Okay.
Because that is a moment. A spouse must be prayerful.
Mm.
You must be prayerful.
Yeah.
Because in difficult times when your marriage is in the season of winter, if you do it on your own, you will not make it.
Yeah.
But the moment you take a moment and you breathe a prayer and you go out, see that I'm just taking, honey, darling, I'm just taking a walk. But you are in prayer. At point, you can even fast.
Mm.
And then you take the scriptures. You know, Joshua chapter 1 verse 8 is saying,
yeah.
If when you meditate on the scriptures day and night,
mm-hmm.
and you put it to work in action,
mm-hmm.
you shall make yourself prosperous,
mm-hmm.
and successful.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the same. Your marriage will be fruitful, will be successful, mm-hmm. will bear so much fruits. And those fruits will also be manifest in your children and in your generation when you make sure your marriage, no matter what season, you run to God. You pray,
mm-hmm.
you fast,
mm-hmm.
you invite God. God, what can I do?
Mm.
Remember, God gave you a role and a responsibility in your marriage.
Yeah.
For your wife to submit and to help your husband, to respect your husband. The season come of winter, your wife is not respecting you. She can't even help you.
Yeah.
Food, go and cook.
Mm.
You know Masuga. You know where the kitchen. You have both hands.
That is your winter
that
now.
That's your winter. Now what do you do?
Yeah.
Don't go physically.
Mm.
That's why marriage is not working. It's not being fruitful these days.
Yeah.
Or maybe they are saying, go and turn unto the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Even while you are talking, when she answer you, when he answer you, when he tell you you are good for, whatever those words.
Good for
understand, it's not your husband. It's not your wife. There is a spiritual force behind it. When you don't pray,
mm-hmm.
the enemy take advantage.
Yeah.
It's where domestic, gender-based, divorce,
mm-hmm.
all this dryness, all this winter.
Mm-hmm.
Winter has become now wee-wee season.
Mm-hmm.
Wee-wee. Then you start saying, I'm going back to my father, my mother's house.
Mm-hmm.
I was not chaste.
Yeah.
You went and get me the way you were told. I'm going back. No. Go on your knees and pray. And when you pray, when you just come back from your prayer, the angel already touched your spouse.
Mm.
Today we are complaining about our children. Yeah. Our children also are becoming you know, in a way that you will not understand.
Wayward.
Oh God, what kind of a child you gave me? You can just bring this havoc in my family, in my marriage like this. I'm doing my level best to bring up this child. This child is bringing what? Winter in your marriage.
Mm.
Because every time things are coming from outside. No. You see, Ephesians chapter 6 verse 10 said, put on the full armor of God.
Yeah.
Husband, as you listen now. Wives, as you listen. Husband and wife to be.
Mm-hmm.
Sons and daughters.
Mm-hmm.
You must be in the full armor of God. Apostle Paul says in Ephesians chapter 6 verse 10 to 18. And that armor is not only a full armor of God when you are single. When you are married, you become what? Become one flesh. And when you become one flesh, you put on the... That's why the Bible says when the wife pray, when the wife is a... That's why the Bible says an unbelieving spouse can leave the believing spouse. You know why?
Mm-hmm.
Because an unbelieving spouse will weaken the armor in your marriage. He or she who does not believe in your marriage.
Mm-hmm.
You are married already.
Yeah.
You, the believing spouse, you cannot leave her. But the burden is, when you are praying, she don't want. Let's go to church. Zende, go. You'll find me.
So in this scenario, where an unbelieving spouse leaves a believing spouse, should the believing spouse get remarried?
The believing spouse.
Yeah.
You see, when the, you know, a believing spouse,
mm-hmm.
when the non-believing spouse, because this is one way of allowing the divorce, according to scripture.
Okay.
When a non-believing spouse decided to divorce, the believing spouse will be free from that divorce, meaning he or she can marry. It's not even remarry. You know why?
Mm-hmm.
Because the non-believing spouse who was in that marriage, to God it was a limitation, a complete glory for him. Because you marry in ignorance of the truth that you are not supposed to be unequally joked, first of all, with a non-believer.
Yeah.
But because of the graceful God that we serve, the unconditional loving God that we serve, he has qualified to be marriage. But now, when you are going to marry, after the non-believing has left, you are going to get married to a believing spouse. This marriage to God.
But doesn't that constitute...
It's much honored.
Uh-huh.
Yes, maybe I should put it. I should agree with you on the
point
of saying...
Doesn't that constitute adultery? Because this unbelieving spouse is not dead.
No,
he's still alive.
The unbelieving spouse, the Bible, God permits that separation.
Yes, separation. Believing,
but the believing one cannot separate, cannot divorce. Yes, only the non-believing.
Okay.
Because why? Because you, the believing, you are bound to this marriage.
Yes.
The non-believing spouse is also, according to scripture, sanctified, is covered in the grace of a godly marriage by the believing spouse. That's why when the non-believing said, I don't want your God anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want your faith anymore.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we need counseling before we separate if one wants to divorce.
Yeah.
Why?
Mm-hmm.
The spiritual counseling, they will want to establish. Are you both believers?
Mm-hmm.
If you are both believers, they will read for you scriptures.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible does not permit you.
Mm-hmm.
Say, no, because she committed or he committed adultery. Say, yes, but what about forgiveness?
Mm.
Or you want to harden your heart?
Mm. Good question.
Yes, but you know what? There's a grace season.
Yeah.
Where you can be allowed to separate, but you are not divorced.
To allow the storm to come.
Yes. And then?
Be reconciled.
And you should be in prayer at that time.
Oh, I like it. Anyway, we are going for a short commercial break and we'll be back to continue. I do appreciate how you have prepared for this topic. I'm learning a lot. I'm really learning a lot in terms of marriage.
Yes,
okay. I'm really learning a lot. And topics of marriage are one of my favorite topics as well. So I'm really learning a lot. Thank you so much, Mr. Paulus, for making time for us. And we still have an hour with him in studio. Our studio line will soon be open. Of course, we're still trying to break down in the institution of marriage, but we will allow you to also come through and ask your questions and your opinions. For now, let's take a break and make room for commercial break.
I Lipura nengeno wapumbwa eva tere ulikoni maondo duto ingida ashike kapeno nwe kudite opoye ekukulile. Oshafafa na nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshiwana. Onongeshe fa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi to danjuka okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi nawa. Nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshe fa omarudi dayo loka. Opone ujendi fenawa nokumona oijago ili nawa. Ninge pata fanona Monica ko Eagle FM onore tatuimwe mbali heavy nola natu. Heali bali no heali ile kumberewa vera hetatu natu bali o hetatu watatu o mafilane Eagle FM VI.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression. Super bargains await you at USAVE, where you pay for the product and not the brand. Pay only $26.99 for 400 milliliter Dawn hand and body cream, $36.99 for 1 kilo of Mama's washing powder, 750 milliliters Captain dishwashing liquid costs only $18.99 at USAVE, and large Sona bath soap just $12.99. USAVE, we all save at USAVE.
Get ready to embrace a world of possibilities at the University of Namibia with a community of ambitious students, researchers and innovators. Shape your future with a wide range of programs in agriculture, engineering, natural sciences, commerce and management, law, education, human sciences, health sciences or veterinary medicine. Apply online at unam.edu.na. UNAM, open your mind.
Some things kind of have to be together, right? Imagine, pop, but no flakes. Never. Or a goal without a celebration. And friends, but no Tassenberg.
Now that's just not right. Tassenberg. Best together. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
Let's you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? Either a person that does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Welcome back. You are tuned into Life Lessons right here on Eagle FM, your number one talk radio station, where we bring you topics, insightful topics for our learning, for our understanding, for the betterment of our lives and the betterment of our society. And at the end of the day, the betterment of our country. Now today we're talking about fruit tips to a lasting and fruitful marriage. I'm joined in studio by Mr. Paulus Hawanga. Now, Mr. Paulus, we still wrapping up and talking about marriage before we also talk on in marriage. We can never really exhaust it. Hey,
exactly.
There's so many things to eat. Okay. But let's continue with where you left off and then we'll move into other stuff.
Yeah. I think the crucial point that we're sharing earlier on,
mm-hmm.
we might not have a chance to come back. Well, you were asking a very important question with regard to divorce.
Yeah.
And then just for me to really share these notes that I have on divorce.
Okay.
Yes. We're saying only death of one person, one spouse, frees the other spouse to remarry. And that's according to Romans chapter 7, verse 2 to 3.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about biblical perspective, biblical principle.
Yeah.
And also when a believer is married to a non-believer,
mm-hmm.
when the non-believer decided to separate, to divorce, the believing one will be free. You see, as we're giving a scripture in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 13 to 16.
Mm-hmm.
And another ground of terminating marriage
mm-hmm.
is in moment of adultery.
Okay.
Adultery. But here Jesus was talking about in the book of Matthew chapter 5, verse 31. He was speaking about adultery as a ground for divorce, but on hardening and forgiveness.
Yeah.
So, but then, for us now today, our Redeemer, He has done it.
Mm.
He has said, if He can forgive us to the point
for
of...
For the many atrocities we commit against
Remember
Him.
I said, 70 times 7.
Yeah.
We should forgive. Mm. And now, He said, if Jesus could really go through the crucifixion, up to the point of the cross, up to the point of death, for us to be forgiven, why can't we also carry the cross to be crucified, to be buried, and resurrected with Jesus? You see, that's why we have to forgive, but only in the Lord. If we do it without the fear of the Lord, we will not forgive, because only the Holy Spirit can help us to maintain our marriage of forgiveness, even in the issue of adultery. And truly, you can forgive each other. It's not a reason actually to separate, maybe for a moment. And also, you know, the divorce also, like in the time, sometime, this is what people are not conscious of. You know how many people we go to church, we get married, we are blessed, we are born again, we are believers. But the moment we leave the altar, we begin to worship idol.
Mm-hmm.
But this marriage was in the church.
Mm.
This is a godly marriage, yes. But this person turned his or her back on God and began to worship what?
Idols.
Idol. What is this idol? Idol worshiping. You love money now too much. Now you are into fame. You want big cars, big houses. You are now into the flesh. That also can bring spiritual separation, spiritual divorce. You are together. You are living in the same house, but spiritually divorced. That's why we need what? We need prayer in marriage on all seasons.
Yeah.
So that is actually what I wanted to finish on, that aspect of on which ground can we really see the separation. But God hates divorce, but the enemy loves it.
Sure.
So we have to go God's way.
Sure.
Yes.
Okay. So what are those pointers for a wife if she's looking towards having maybe newly wedded or perhaps not yet married and they are looking forward to getting married? What are those pointers that as a wife they should be looking into perhaps doing or, doing in order for them to have a lasting and also fruitful marriage, and not just fruitful in terms of producing babies and baby making. So, yeah.
Yes.
What are that?
And I like that point because you are really making it to expand our perspective in terms of fruitfulness. Yes. There are many ways that we bear fruits.
Yeah.
These are fruits of godliness.
Mm.
And these fruits are not limited to our marriage. It's in every area of our lives.
Okay.
Yes. Every area of our life where we seek God first, God will bring fruitfulness there.
Nice.
You see, everywhere, because Romans chapter 6 verse 10 is saying, His will in the Lord's Prayer, my will be done, my kingdom come.
Mm.
When the will of God is in your marriage, His kingdom will be manifested in an amazing way. Mm. The will of God must be in your career. And there will be fruitfulness. Remember, a marriage, if your career is not progressing, it can become a thorn in the flesh.
Yes.
Your marriage, you realize, people are doing business going forward. People are going to school and they are finishing me. I'm not. That's why the stagnation in terms of prospering. No. Did you really consider the will of God in your career? So now, and this is where it starts. And I don't want to close it to a wife to be.
Okay.
Or to a husband to be.
Okay.
But a spouse.
Okay.
Because when the word of God says a man shall leave his father and his mother and be cleaved to his wife, and they become one, according to Genesis chapter 2, verse 18.
Mm.
You see, as you read further, you see, the wife, people think it's only the husband who is leaving. The wife too.
Yeah.
If you want your marriage to really be fruitful,
yeah,
it should not start in the marriage. Because we were preparing to say, how can you maintain fruitfulness in your marriage?
Mm.
If you did not plant it well from the beginning, if you did not prepare for your marriage,
mm,
it's going to take you a while your marriage to balance in terms of bearing fruits.
Mm.
What we should do, if we want to maintain fruitfulness in our marriage, let's start rectifying from where we are coming, where we did not do good.
Yeah.
Like you were saying, when you married, there were lack of understanding some of this portrait of marriage.
Mm-mm.
But now that we know, then we must do what? We must go back now in the mercy of the Lord to do the right thing. It's never late to do the right thing.
Yeah.
So what we should do when we are preparing, I prepared this pointer,
mm-hmm,
and this is what we should really make an emphasis on. We need to prepare and we need to maintain our spiritual. We need to prepare ourselves spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I notice here. This is very important. How we should make sure that we are ready and remain fruitful.
Yeah.
Yes. We should prepare ourselves socially. And as we prepare socially,
yeah,
there are a number of key points I could share on how to get ready social, in a social perspective of your life. You know, because there are norms of do and don'ts according to the standard of how we live our life,
yeah,
our cultures.
Yeah.
Imagine when you marry a person from a different cultural background. Socially, there will be a number of issues that does not agree in terms of how your upbringing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
so,
mm-hmm.
Socially, their culture, the food they eat, there is a number of issues.
Yes.
Now, you need to prepare yourself for this. I'm marrying this person. You know, I'm a Kavango, I'm a Kwangali.
Mm-hmm.
My wife is a Damara.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
You know what?
Yeah.
I prepared myself socially.
That's nice.
To make sure that I accept the culture,
mm-hmm,
of the Damara speaking, their way of life.
Yeah.
And this is why I'm today, and even my wife, when we prepared for, and I'm speaking as an example for many others who married people who are not, even from your same background,
mm-hmm,
you were not brought up in the same environment.
Mm.
You see?
While you are at that point,
yeah,
were you scared that your family might not accept her because she's of a different tribe? Because I do have a very close sister of mine who would soon probably be getting married to somebody who's not of the same tribe as her. And she's very skeptical. And of course, as much as they love each other, and I believe they are on understanding each other well, career-wise, in so many aspects, she's concerned and worried whether the family will actually be forthcoming about this person. But so just for anybody else sitting at home and is concerned and worried, what would you say to them?
You know, usually what we do,
yeah,
when during the pre-marriage training,
yeah,
and counseling, of course,
because, yeah,
we always do training, and then we encourage couples who want to book sessions,
yeah,
so that we talk to them,
yeah,
so that we make sure everyone who attend,
mm-hmm,
truly ready.
Okay.
You see what we do? We used to teach a concept that we're taught at the African Leadership Institute.
Okay.
Because I'm an alumni member from the African Leadership Institute.
Okay.
So, I'm a marriage presenter from the institution.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a session that we teach on Hollywood and a godly formula,
mm,
of a lasting, fruitful,
really
blessed marriage.
Lasting, fruitful, blessed marriage.
Yes. You see, this formula, these two formula,
yeah,
speaks like what you have just asked now.
Yeah.
The way we approach marriage and the way we maintain it.
Mm-hmm.
These two formula, the Hollywood formula says, I'm looking for the right person.
Okay.
Step one.
Yeah.
Step two, when you find the right person, you fall in love.
Mm.
Step three, now I found the right person, I fall in love with this person.
Mm-hmm.
The third stage, you know what you do? You fix your hopes and your dreams.
Mm-hmm.
And your whole aspiration of life
mm-hmm.
upon this person.
Mm-hmm.
When this relationship, when this plan for marriage, when this marriage fail,
mm-hmm.
you know what?
Mm-hmm.
You go and say, oh, I did not find the right person. I didn't find the right woman. That's why I divorced. I didn't find the right husband. It's not, it's for lack of what?
Knowledge.
For lack of preparedness.
Mm.
This is what we used to teach them. Now you know what, when it crashed that time, and that's actually where domestic violence comes in.
Mm-hmm.
Gender-based violence comes in.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'll come back to the difference in terms of cultural background
yeah.
or any academic, social background, mm-hmm. environmental background, spiritual background, all those things. We need to prepare those things. And when we marry, they must be maintained at a certain standard. In a godly marriage, you maintain your social way, spiritual way, environmental, everything, emotional, psychological. You maintain it in accordance to alignment to the scriptures,
okay.
to the biblical will
yeah.
of God. Yeah. Now, in this Hollywood, after you have looked for the right person, you have fallen in love, and you have fixed your dreams and your aspiration and all your future on this person. Well, because you're fixing on this person,
mm-hmm.
a person is a person.
Mm-hmm.
Can make a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
Can get angry.
Mm-hmm.
When this person disappoints you, you said, I'm in a wrong marriage. I'm in a wrong relationship. Then what do? You drop this relationship. You separate from this person. You go again and look for the right person. And you start the cycle over again.
Yeah.
And then what happened? This life is a once off. Don't think there's another chance waiting for you.
Mm-hmm.
This day, this moment,
yes,
will never repeat itself.
Mm-hmm.
We ought not to waste our life like that.
Mm-hmm.
Look now on the right hand. I'm now giving you a picture, dear listeners, of a godly
marriage,
a godly formula to a lasting, blessed, fruitful marriage.
Mm-hmm.
Even as a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? You first yourself. You must love yourself.
Yeah.
You yourself, love yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And now, you don't look for the right person. You yourself must walk in love of yourself. Forgive yourself. Seek your peace.
Yeah, yeah. Often we look...
Speak good about yourself.
Yes. I think often when we're getting married, we're looking for somebody to come and complete us.
That's why they speak about my health. There's nothing like uh-huh. that. You must be whole. You must be 100%.
Mm-hmm.
You see? Now, immediately, when you yourself, you walk in love, you love yourself. And now, in terms of your dreams, your hopes, mm-hmm. your future,
yeah.
you fix it on God.
Not on a person.
Not on Mr. Right.
Who can disappoint you.
Yes. Now what, not to take much time on this point. Now you see on a godly formula of a lasting relationship and marriage, what happened is you are going to fix your dreams and your hopes on God. You know what? When it fails,
mm-hmm.
you seek God's forgiveness.
Mm.
And you know what?
Yeah.
Your healing should be divine. Your peace from the Lord. The love of God will locate you. Now, while you are busy loving, walking in love, here comes the sister. Here comes the brother. Something extraordinary begin to happen.
Yeah.
That's how. Now, when it comes for you to say, you know, in the Hollywood formula, mm-hmm. you start flesh, money,
mm-hmm.
beauty, career, handsomeness,
how many
career,
degrees, masters,
yes, which location of the town, which, you understand?
Yeah, family status.
You start material, yes.
Mm.
But in a godly formula, spiritual.
Mm.
The base of everything
yeah.
is spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
Prayer, fasting,
mm.
seeking God's counsel.
Mm-hmm.
You look for a mentor, someone who can mentor you spiritually.
Yeah.
That's why we need elders in the church. If you cannot talk to that elder, you pray God will direct you on this elder, and then you say, can you be my mentor?
Mm.
You understand? Why do we do this in the church? So that you are guided spiritually, and God is involved in that spiritual, in a godly formula. Now, when you are saying, you are preparing for marriage, how are you preparing?
Mm.
In a godly formula, or in a Hollywood formula. Are you preparing by the approach of the spiritual base?
Yeah.
Or you are preparing based on material?
Mm.
Now, when you prepare in a godly way, whether your spouse is from India,
whether your spouse you're answering my question very, you know,
whether your spouse is from this tribe.
Yeah. With
it. It does not matter.
Whether she's a Damara, she's Kabango,
now
she's Kapriya.
You understand?
She's Kala, she's Basta.
Everyone, every
Before
person.
Before God, we are all equal.
We were all created in his own image, his own likeness.
I love that.
The only thing you need to make sure before you marry is he or she a believer.
Okay.
You see, that's it. Yeah. So for your beloved who is preparing for marriage, dear listeners, if you are in that same position, understand that. Don't do it on your own.
Mm.
Don't do it by flesh.
Don't choose.
Don't look for Mr. And don't say how it's going to work. Begin spiritually. Prayer. Get a spiritual mentor. That's why when we talk about a godly marriage, we speak about God parenting. When we speak about civil marriage, we speak about witnesses. You see that? So it's different. So approach it godly way so that you involve God. Accept your spouse to be and make sure you take every step according the godly way. You know that marriage is blessed by, is anointed by God through parents' blessings. How many people have married taking shortcuts without the parents' blessings?
Is that marriage honored? If a man goes and marries a lady whom the father did not approve, that's like coming into a house through a window.
You know, it might not be as a biological father or biological mother.
Yeah.
But yes, father and mother.
Uh-huh.
Yes. But you know, in a situation where they pass on to glory.
Yeah.
Yes, a father figure can also be. You know, people trying to justify for any reason not to seek parents' blessing.
Yes.
No, they did not pay my school fee. No, they never cared for me. Listen, the Bible does not say.
Yeah.
They were parent only those who have money, who take care of you, will bless your marriage. No. Even if your father was not there when you were brought up, when you get married, your mother, your father, your parents, they are the one to bless your marriage. Even if you run on the altar and the man of God read the word of God and you say, I do, I do. But you dishonored your parents. Sam, what do we do? This is why I say it. Civil marriage, godly marriage. They are not really, they don't come together
it's
easily.
True.
Why? Because
I get the picture
people
why
are going
so.
To, even to the civil marriage, a lawyer can come in anytime. I will encourage those who are legally expert to come in and prove me wrong. You can take a friend. I take a friend. We want to go and get married. I take a friend. You take your girlfriend. We go to the magistrate. They become our witness. Completely legally bind. We are married without your parents' blessing. But in a godly marriage, your parents have to be to rise in the church for the man of God to pronounce the vow. Because the absence of your parents' blessings, the enemy will take. That's why some marriages are not bearing fruits today.
Because, they didn't go the right way. I hear you. Very interesting.
Did I answer your question?
Yes, you did.
About your friend?
Yes. Can I continue?
Yes, I can continue. You see, we need to prepare our saying, you know, socially, even the environment where you grew up, when you marry, see where you are going. Spiritually, we must be prepared. And we not only preparing, when we get married, we must maintain it. You know what people are doing today? Spiritually. This brother, this sister, accept your proposal. You go, like in our custom, in our culture, even as godly as it is also. What happens is that when you marry, you go and marry the woman from there, where she was, the woman where she grew up, from her mother, from her church. You marry her from there. Now, she come to you as a husband. Now you must do what spiritual, I'm talking about spiritual preparedness.
Yeah.
Now you accept the brother, you accept the sister, you get married in the church. After marriage, me, I'm not going. The husband, according to God, is the leader.
Yeah.
The husband is saying, let's go to church.
Yeah.
He wants to take you to his church now because you are no longer to go at your mother's church where they bring you up. You must go with your husband. Your husband is your leader. Now, me, I'm going to our church. You see, spiritual already. You are one. Now you see, you know why I'm saying like that?
Yeah.
A lot of people are fighting today in marriage.
Mm-hmm.
Husbands are crying.
Mm-hmm.
Because their wives, when they enter some of these congregations,
mm-hmm.
they become also very spiritually matured.
Yes.
They start disregarding their roles and responsibility
mm-hmm.
in their marriage.
Ah.
They can't even cook. No. We are having all night prayer.
Thank you.
You understand?
Please address that part.
You see, that's why mm-hmm. I'm to emphasize
mm-hmm.
spiritually.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to bear fruits
mm-hmm.
in marriage,
yeah.
spiritually, mm-hmm. there must be spiritual stability.
Mm.
We must allow the Holy Spirit
mm-hmm.
to perfect our imperfection.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be too judgmental to your husband, to your wife,
mm.
but do it in wisdom.
Mm. In respect and love.
In you carrying out your role and your responsibility.
Yeah.
As a husband, in the Lord,
mm-hmm.
be the leader of your wife. As a husband, love your wife in the Lord. As scripturally, as the Lord leads the church.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you as a, and provide for your family.
Yeah.
Now, you as a wife, submit
mm.
to your husband
mm-hmm.
in the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when the separation, spiritual mentorship
mm-hmm.
goes so in such a way that the husband is not in control, what do you think now? Who is spiritually the leader? Do you know the husband is a priest of his family?
Mm.
Marriage is a ministry.
Yes.
If you don't run the affair of your marriage according to the divine schedule, design of God, the reason why we are not enjoying our marriage as heaven on earth.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, marriage was meant to be manifested fully,
mm-hmm.
bearing fruition
mm-hmm.
here on earth. Why are we not enjoying our marriage? Because we are allowing socially, they are my friend. You can't be a woman, a friend to a male, and you want to just fight to your husband.
Mm-hmm.
No, he's just my friend. He's just my colleague. Socially wrong.
Talking for long hours. Of course, you can be friends, but can, not. There but there should be boundaries.
Yes.
Thank you.
You see,
you can't be coming home at yes. 10 o'clock. Like yes. just spending you in a secluded place with an opposite sex, you know, you're telling that to your husband.
I want to make an emphasis here on yeah. the aspect of spiritually.
Mm-hmm.
Don't compromise spiritually in your marriage.
Mm.
Don't compromise this, dear listeners. I know we want to justify the reason sometime.
Yeah.
Don't disrespect your husband for the reason of you being too holy in the church.
Thank you.
Towards your the priest, the prophet, the pastor in your church.
Mm-hmm. Honoring your pastor,
honoring your pastor more than your husband.
It's wrong.
That structure does not work with God.
No.
The God of Abraham that we are talking about, who founded the institution of marriage. You know how is the family structure?
Mm-hmm.
Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Head of the church,
mm-hmm.
the husband,
mm-hmm.
the head of the wife,
mm-hmm.
both of them, the husband and wife, oversee the children.
Mm-hmm.
The moment you as a wife disregard, disgrace, dishonor your husband, mm-hmm. God did not say, submit your husband only if he's so holy as your pastor. God did not say,
say it again.
He did not say,
Submit to your husband
as much as he is so holy, as your pastor, as your prophet. No, he said, submit, respect, help him.
Yes. And he said, wives, submit to your own husband. Your pastor has a wife, and the wife has to submit to her own husband, which is him. Now you are going to submit to somebody else's husband. You must submit to your own, whether he's a drunkard, whether he's a, you know, I think for some women, they are the ones that push their husbands to act in certain ways. I'm not trying to make, excuse for the men and stuff, but because they belittle their husbands. The way you speak to your husband and in front of your family, your friends, and before you make that point, before I forget, let me open the studio. 0832-888-401 is the number in studio. Should you have a question for Mr. Paulus, 0832-888-401 is the number in studio. Please come through. Continue.
I want you to always have this picture of the Hollywood formula to a lasting relationship and marriage.
Yeah.
This on the part of marriage. You see, when you see a woman now, acting in the manner that you just described,
mm.
trying to undermine the husband because he's, for this reason, he's sick,
mm.
he's a drunkard,
yeah.
he's financially broke.
Mm.
Even as a husband, you do this to your wife. Especially, I'm taking from the wife to the husband.
Yeah.
Many wives have dishonored, disrespected their husband
mm-hmm.
because of for some shortcomings. But
yeah.
let me tell you,
yeah.
God does not justify that to use it as a reason.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's this tribe. Because he's speaking as, because he's not learned, he's not educated enough.
Mm.
And now you want to, God is saying, when you go to the church and you want to fast and pray,
mm-hmm.
the scripture is saying,
mm-hmm.
go, put your offering, put your sacrifice,
yeah.
go back home first,
mm-hmm.
and restore order
mm-hmm.
in your marriage, in your family,
mm-hmm.
before God will accept your prayer.
Mm-hmm.
How many of us, wonderful, beautiful, anointed woman,
mm-hmm.
even a man, husband, in the church, so honorable, but go home, there's no an altar in your house.
Mm-hmm.
A marriage is supposed to have an altar in the house.
Yeah.
An altar does not mean it must be there now, not plank a big one decorated. I want a ministry of how. No, 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 no. The altar is in the spirit.
Mm-hmm.
There must be prayer in your house. There must be forgiveness in your house.
Mm-hmm.
There must be love in your house.
Mm-hmm.
Then you, as a wife, you must submit to your husband. You must respect your husband. Husband, you must love your wife.
Yeah.
You must provide leadership in the fear of the Lord. Now, when we leave the standard of the word of God and we begin to honor things of material,
yeah.
of money, that's why godly marriages today, they become that, oh, a godly marriage has become a Hollywood marriage.
Mm.
Because now you are too much into material, into status, into fame. You wish that you did not get married to this man.
Mm-hmm.
Because you are seeing your friend who's getting married today in a very higher level kind of decorated marriage. Now you want to divorce this one
mm-hmm.
so that I'll get married better because now I got money.
Mm.
That's not godly.
Mm-hmm.
So now, on our preparedness, and even to maintain a fruitful marriage,
yeah.
we must prepare and maintain issues of emotional wellness.
Mm.
Emotional wellness.
Mm-hmm.
When you are getting married to this person, try to establish, are there some emotional issues?
Mm-hmm.
That you need to know before you get married.
Mm-hmm. Like, for instance, wish there was she's time. A cry baby.
Yes,
as women, we are very cry. We cry about a lot
you
of
know,
things.
You can cry.
Please tell the men they should allow us sometimes.
You can cry,
mm-hmm.
but now when you are crying,
yeah.
as a husband, I should now discover what is triggering. What is the what is triggering your crying?
Okay,
it might be a wound.
Okay,
of a motherless, fatherless. Maybe a generational issue.
Mm.
So you need to understand your spouse to be,
mm-hmm.
or your spouse. There are a lot of issues that we are going through.
Mm. Or went through.
Even when you are married, even to tomorrow, nobody knows tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Something can happen that can trigger your emotion to be somebody else.
Yeah.
But I should appreciate and involve God in this.
Yeah.
That's why we must go it godly way.
Mm.
And also, you should also look physically.
Mm.
Physically, you know, check an eyes.
Okay.
I'm going to leave it there. You know, you must
You must explain.
Intellectually.
Yeah.
You should know.
Uh-huh.
Don't be married. Or now you are married. You love this woman. You
yeah.
love this man.
Yeah.
You got married. You exchange vow.
Mm.
Now after marriage, you become, you tell, no. I cannot continue this marriage when my wife can't even read an article. She can't, even when my friends are coming, she can't even express in official language. No! You married this woman. You married that man like that.
Yeah.
So what you need to do, find a way how you can capacitate each other intellectually.
Oh, I like that.
You see?
Yeah, ne?
So you have to do that.
Train up your person.
Train each
groom
other.
Them.
You see,
mm-hmm.
God is saying as a husband,
mm-hmm.
your crown is in your wife.
Mm.
If you, one day God is going to ask you,
mm-hmm.
this gift of favor I gave to you
yeah.
in a wife,
yeah.
what did you do with it? If you made a mat
mm.
to clean your feet on, God is going to ask you.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to ask you that family.
Mm-hmm.
I gave you a wife.
Mm-hmm.
I gave you a husband.
Mm-hmm.
And you are coming here. What are you trying to justify me today? You went through my parents. Your parents blessed it. And I anointed that marriage. I registered the marriage. That's why when we go to church, we take a marriage sacrament.
Mm-hmm.
to bond, and it's a symbol of bonding in spirit and in body with God.
Yeah.
And God acknowledges that. Now, when you go, God's going to ask you that husband, that wife. He's not going to say, oh God, I left him because intellectually I became so educated that he can't articulate as much as I did. He couldn't even, he was embarrassing me when I couldn't even take him to meetings. Mm-hmm. You know, I always encourage the honorables.
Yeah.
These very important leaders, yeah. Our leaders,
yeah, yeah.
To value marriage.
Mm-hmm.
I always encourage them even to go when they are invited to official functions.
Yeah.
Bring your wife, bring your husband.
Yes.
Official function every time is only you. As if you are a single person, you are not honoring God in that marriage.
Mm.
Now, most of us, because we look down on our spouses.
Mm.
Some look down on your spouse.
And sometimes your spouse is the reason why you have a PhD, the reason why you have a master's, because they were busy taking care of the children while you were going to get this further education and have a good job. And then later on, when you do acquire those things, you look down on them. It's very wrong.
You know, there is no one who aspire somebody to be as successful as much as above his or her own than your own children. It's the same in marriage.
Yeah.
You must be there to serve your husband. You must be there to serve your wife in your role and your responsibility as a husband and his wife.
Mm-hmm.
Bring her up to the level even beyond you for the glory of God.
Yes.
If you do it for the glory of God,
you reap the fruit.
You reap the fruit of it. Now, what are we doing today?
Mm-hmm.
This woman, she wants to be so smarter than me, too educated. She has collected how many degrees? Now me, I'm only having one. I will not allow that. No, 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 no. You are now falling for the Hollywood marriage.
Mm-hmm.
You will not be a false.
Mm-hmm.
God is going to reward you for the wonderful woman that you have groomed and brought up in the Lord.
Yes.
And your children will be, you, the same way you want the best for your wife, the same way you want the best for your husband. You know what?
Mm-hmm.
Your children don't talk. You are the Bible they are reading every day.
Mm.
The way you are coaching your wife.
Yeah.
Now, sweetheart, my love, hubby.
Yeah.
You know, we have this. This name, don't just call this name.
Yeah.
Pray and get the name that really impacts intimacy to your spouse.
Mm-hmm.
Don't just adopt the name because your
Your
neighbor called that you his wife. No. Pray. God will give you a unique name that really bring the best of love into your spouse.
Yeah.
You see, now, when you are giving and you are supporting your wife in this manner, your children are watching and they are learning. When you are coaching your wife, why don't you improve these symbols? Why don't you just go to Namcol?
Yeah.
Why don't you just go and learn how to drive and I think sometime I might not be around.
Mm-hmm.
I will want you to take charge and, you know, emergency can be, please, my wife, you need to drive.
Yeah.
Your children are watching. I said, wow, mama is driving because I remember he encouraged my mother to go for learner license. You know what your son is going to do?
Mm-hmm.
He's going to do the same to his wife.
Mm.
He's even going to do more.
Exactly.
And that's the will of God.
Yes.
That's the will of God. So we should prepare ourselves, of course, I said already, spiritually, emotionally, physically, and also intellectually, and also socially. You know, we should prepare, but in the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And as we are doing these things, we maintain it in a godly way. You are now in the full armor of God.
Mm-hmm.
Your marriage is in the full armor of God.
Mm-hmm.
Apostle Paul is saying, in that very scripture of Ephesians chapter 6 verse 10, that put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand the evil days. How many couples, how many spouses are ready in their full armor in that marriage
for the
evil day? When the evil days are coming, look, I always like to give this scenario of Jesus in the boat.
Yeah.
In the boat with the disciples.
Mm-hmm.
With the disciples. And when the wind and the waves were hitting against the boat, Jesus was asleep. What were they? They were afraid that they are going to perish.
Yeah, because of the storm.
Because of the storm. But what did Peter do? Peter had a relationship with Jesus.
Mm.
He could repent anytime. Remember how he betrayed Jesus? He was a good repenter. Peter, he is the one who went to Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, wake up. Look, we are about to perish. Jesus, when he woke up, what did he say? What did he say? He spoke to the wind, to the flood. Be calm. Immediately, there was an extreme calmness. And then he turned to them, said, your lack of faith. You see that? The same in our marriage today. We should be able to be in the Lord, trusting God for our marriage, trusting God for our career, trusting God for our intellectual ability, trusting God for our physical ability. Today you are physically in full ability. What about tomorrow when you have a physical
illness
or so? You vowed. You should be able to maintain your marriage. Don't run away from your spouse because the season of sickness, of an accident winter. Happened.
Yes.
Now you are in winter. You want to run away. God's going to ask for that marriage.
Because you said for better, for worse, in good times.
That's
in
what
bad
we
times.
Vowed for. Now, when you maintain your marriage in the full armor of God, and you, any season that comes, you go on your knees. And you pray, you confess scriptures, and you speak to your spouse, hubby, my wife, the standard of God according to this marriage. You're supposed to do like this. The moment you reference with the word of God, you are going to realize that spirit of rebellion that has been trying to haunt your wife, to fight you, it will be powerless. That spirit of anger, it will fade away because you are just telling your wife, listen, anger is not godly, but it's okay. Let's pray about it. That anger, the moment you say, let's pray about it, you have summoned the divine intervention of God. That anger spirit is already leaving that marriage. That's why we must be prayerful. Apostle Paul in that scripture saying that, put on the full armor of God and be able to stand. Repent, put on the helmet of salvation. Be in the truth of the gospel. Wherever you go, put on the belt of truth. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. Put on the shield of faith. Take the sword of the word of the sword.
Which is the word of God.
The sword is the word is a fit. Yes, the full armor of God.
I remember I wrote them down. Hold on, let me try.
Yes,
the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth buckled around your waist, the readiness to preach the gospel, and faith as a shield.
Shield, yes.
Okay.
And the sword?
The sword is the word, which is the word of God.
Awesome. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, dear listeners.
Yeah.
Please just
confirm for yourself.
Yes, confirm for yourself. This armor, you, dear listener, as husband and wife. Prepare for marriage if you are to be in the fullness of God's presence. And if you are in marriage, make sure your marriage is you are in one flesh. Godly marriage. Those who are married only in civil marriage, the legally binding marriage, go to the parent, go to the church. Make sure there's an ordination of your marriage in the will of God. You see that? That is godly marriage. Be in the full armor of God. Repentance in marriage is you going to the altar and confess and exchange vows in the Lord. That's how you put on the full armor of God in your marriage. Then your marriage will be in the Holy Spirit. Then you remain what? Prayerful. You remain in the wedding. You remain, everything you do in your life, in your, even when you are going to work, do your work. Do it with spirit of excellence.
Yeah.
Do it at your best that God help me so that I do and carry out the mandate of my work, of my business, parenting my children according to your standard, business according to your standard, according to your will. Everything according to the will. Seek God in everything. And God said, I will then add.
Yeah.
I think that's where I'm going to relate. That marriage is going to bear the fruits according to Galatians chapter 5. You read from verse 24. 20 or so, you find the fruits of the flesh. Adultery is one of them. You know, the fruit of the flesh, you find hatred, anger,
bitterness.
But then the fruit of the Holy Spirit,
Love, joy, peace, love, joy, patience, peace, kindness, yes, goodness, that faith, is the gentleness. Those
such are the fruits of the godly marriage.
Yeah.
Fruits in the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Then you see all other things like career advancement,
mm-hmm,
financial breakthrough.
Mm-hmm.
All your plans,
mm-hmm,
works. Why? Because the Bible says, who is that watch over the city without God? You will watch in vain.
Yes.
Same with marriage.
Mm.
So that is a fruitful marriage that God designed from the beginning.
Okay.
I would love to see from the listeners.
Yeah. I hope they are surely coming through. We're pausing here again for a commercial break, but our studio line is very much open. 083-288-401 is the number in studio. 083-288-401 is the number in studio. For now, we'll see you after the commercial break.
From sunrise to supper time, Namib Mills is there, feeding the nation with care, quality, and heart.
We believe food is more than nourishment. It's dignity. It's hope. It's the start of a better tomorrow.
Through sustainable production processes, job creation, and affordable, nutritious food, Namib Mills is driving economic growth one plate at a time. Because when we say feeding the nation,
we mean uplifting lives,
empowering communities, and building a future where no one is left behind.
Namib Mills, proudly Namibian, passionately feeding the nation.
Namib Mills, feeding the nation.
Welcome back. You are tuned into Life Lessons right here on Eagle FM. And we are just almost to the closing of our wonderful, beautiful topic, but we still have 15 more minutes left. So you can still come through. 0832-888-401 is the studio is the number in studio. Now, Mr. Paulus, I know, when we talk about love, and of course, since we're talking about marriage, it's only fair that obviously we're talking about love. There's a famous scripture of 1 Corinthians chapter 13 there that talks about what love is, what love is not. Can you kindly break that to us? Just, I think, make an explanation of every word there, that it's not boastful, it's not, does not hold grudges in terms of spouses and the way we treat one another.
Yes, thank you. You know, how we usually approach this chapter,
mm-hmm,
1 Corinthians chapter 13.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've that's why, in case I don't say it at the end of this program,
okay,
please, I want to encourage would-be couples and those who are already married.
Mm-hmm.
It's very important to enrich your marriage.
Mm.
Always go to marriage seminars.
Yeah.
Go to relationship enrichment seminars.
Mm-hmm.
Strongly on the aspect of marriage, I would recommend you to visit our school, the African Leadership Institute in Okahanja at Rock Lodge.
Okay.
So our parents are there, Davi and Krishna.
Mm.
They are always having those. I'm going to give my number at the end of the program.
I think you should give it now while you're speaking. Yes, because
those who want to reach out to our offices, Namibia Marriage Council, of course, we have been mentored by African Leadership Institute.
Mm.
So you can contact me on this number, 081-8700-341.
Mm-hmm.
I repeat, 081-8700-341.
Mm-hmm.
So we need, because what I'm about to share now is how I got to be enlightened to approach this chapter,
mm-hmm,
of 1 Corinthians chapter 13,
mm-hmm,
which speak louder on the aspect of what? Of love.
Mm-hmm.
You see. So what we were enlightened with regard to this chapter, actually, even from the Genesis design,
mm-hmm,
because I happen to attend also, I am also a dean of Genesis design,
mm,
teachings, and they also break it also in the same perspective.
Yeah.
For them, they teach it in the way that I want to give it. It says, they talk about the love war. Love war.
Okay.
They actually mean that this 1 Corinthians chapter 13, when you are getting married, you are entering an institution where sacrificial love for another above yourself. So now you enter a marriage gate spiritually, and you now come into the Garden of Eden in the spiritual realm. You become in the Garden of Eden, in the presence of God. In that, in his presence is where he's speaking about what kind of love that should be manifested when you are in the presence. Your marriage is in the Holy Spirit. Your marriage is a godly marriage. So let me go to that scripture.
Yeah.
Yes, as you said in the book of, as we said in the book of First Corinthians. I want to just to give it plainly in terms of, so that we make sure we build the love wall around our marriage. Yes, I really thank God for Genesis design, our parents who really outlined it to us like this. They said, you see, though I speak with the tongue of men and of angels, you can now put anything that you think you value so much, that thing that you, that makes you think you are extraordinary. You have a reason to justify
yourself,
the treatment towards your spouse, towards your husband. Now he said, okay, God is watching. He's looking at you. Let us see if you truly in the will of God. He said, though you speak in tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. So you do charity, whatever you do, in such a way that it gives, it brings you like honor.
Yeah.
But if you, then he continues. Okay? Because he's speaking about love. Let me just go. How am I putting it? Praise Jesus on that. Because my device, that's why I should bring hard copy. We should bring the hard copy.
Right, yeah, exactly.
You see? Yes. Okay. Though I have a gift, that's verse 2. Though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove a mountain and have not charity, or you did not love. You don't love. That charity, actually, because of the vision I'm having here, speaking about charity, but it's actually referring to, but you do not love. You see that? Whatever you do, charity you do, prophecy you give, you see that? Mystery thing that you do. But if you do not have love to God, it does not add value. It does not glorify God. It is nothing.
Yeah.
And though I bestow all my goods, whatever you have, and you give to the poor, you see, or you do it for your own body to please yourself, but you do not, or you burn whatever sacrifice you want to give, but you do not love. He said, to God, it is nothing. You see that? You know, the chapter goes on. It goes on. Even if you do things that you do for show of people, but your heart does not really love.
For example, you buy your wife a car, but you are sort of like, you abuse her emotionally.
You know the love that we express, like I was talking about the love languages. You can buy her a car, buy him, or do these things, gift. All those love languages, if you are expressing them, but in the absence of godliness, it will be misinterpreted. It will mislead. That's why you find you surprise her with this car. Tomorrow, she wants a helicopter. Because she will not be content.
Okay.
Contentment will not be there.
Exactly.
Now, I want to go back where I was speaking about these love wars. This book of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, is speaking on the corner of saying, whatever you do, but if you do not have the love of God, it's nothing. That's why verse 13 says, faith, hope, and love. The greatest is love. Now, you know why? Why many marriages today are not bearing fruits? Because the love war of a godly marriage that should be fruitful.
Yeah.
When you enter in that godly marriage, you close the love gate, the marriage gate. When you are inside, according to Genesis design portrait of a love war that protect marriage to remain fruitful.
Yeah.
One pillar is love. It's a pillar of love. One pillar is a pillar of forgiveness. Another pillar is a pillar of selflessness. You know, another pillar.
It's a pillar of patience.
Patience.
Enduring.
Kind. Those are the pillars that protect marriage, which means when there's a differences, we don't say it, you know, when you differ with your wife, you should be able to forgive, which means that pillar of forgiveness is strong in your marriage. You see, being kind. Your spouse made, for some reason, things did not go well.
Yeah.
Don't just burst out and now bring all the other things and all the, no.
Mm-hmm.
Be kind and gentle in your approach and forgive and be kind. Yeah. Kindness is another wall on its own. You know, when you build all these pillars of 1 Corinthians chapter 1 of love, you'll be able, love above all. You'll be able to forgive. You'll be able to be patient. You'll be able to be kind. You'll be able to be gentle. You will bear so much fruit of the Holy Spirit. Meaning, if a season comes and a problem comes and trying to challenge your vows, your marriage, you will be likened to the wise builder who built on the rock. Look, in this very same marriage, if you go in the book of Psalm chapter 1, verse 1, is speaking about blessed are them that maintain the godly way of the law of the commandment of God.
Yeah.
They shall be likened to the tree, a tree planted by the stream of water that bring forth its fruits in its right season. That shall be your marriage. You see, you don't seek counsel in the same verses. You don't seek counsel from ungodly. You will end up falling for the ungodly way of life.
Yeah.
And then you will not bear much fruits. You see that? So the emphasis that I want also to make is that, dear listeners, happy in marriage, let us take cognizance that they are seasons. There is no marriage that will remain forever in spring. In spring is a season where, like when we in marriage, everyone is talking about you. Your how beautiful is your suit? How is your cake? Everyone is talking about every attention of blossoming is just on you. Honeymoon, you understand that that season you are in what? In spring. It's like during the season of spring, what do we see outside? Every tree is bringing the best of its fruits, flowers.
Yeah.
You know that beautiful smell of some, you know that singing that's in the trees. You feel it's wonderful. It's beautiful. That's the season also in marriage, but it's not going to be the same throughout. It is natural. It is normal for the autumn season to come where you see some falling of trees. Things are like not going according to the way you plan. It is normal. It's a way of life. But, and also winter, when things are just like dry or, you know our seasons, how it goes. It's the same in marriage. But then, if you have mastered to know the seasons, when you see it's getting to winter or to spring, I mean, to the season where things are not going well, you know already that, hey, I must deliberately begin to speak my love languages of my wife, of my husband.
And louder.
That's, yes, louder. If she wants quality time, you should be able already to, oh, sweetheart, I think I've got a small sense there. Can you not go out for the boat cruise? Mm. Can you not go out for to visit our parents?
Mm-hmm.
To go and visit maybe someone that she loves so much in the family.
Yeah.
You see, you must start deliberately express your love language. It's a strategy to make sure you are going to navigate, to sail back from going to winter, to come back to autumn, and to come back to spring. So if you don't know your spouse's love language, you will struggle in winter, you are there, and all you think is that, how can I get out of this marriage? It's a lie. You should just begin to speak love language towards yourself. How do you know your spouse's love language?
Yeah.
What they complain about.
Ah.
When they, because you went with your friend, every time you are going with them,
like that,
you come home late.
Yeah. Quality time.
I cook for you.
Mm-hmm.
You are not even eating my food. She wants you to come at home on time so that you spend time together. She wants you to come and eat together.
Mm-hmm.
She wants you to take that, which means her love language, what? Quality time.
Mm-hmm.
When is the anniversary? When the anniversary come? Oh, we couldn't even buy not even a cake just for the kids. Even at least we could even buy, we could buy a gift for our godparent just to appreciate them.
Mm-hmm.
You must know her love language is gift. You see that? And also, not only what he or she complained, even the men, you can put it the other way around.
Mm-hmm.
You are there complimenting. Why did you compliment that man?
Mm.
What do you think? You know, why did you talk to, I don't like you to talk to that man. I mean, how can you talk to, how can you be, why are you calling that person?
Mm-hmm.
That husband of yours want a word of affirmation.
Mm-hmm.
He wants you to talk to him. How do we talk to our husband? How do we talk to a man friend out there, maybe a co-worker?
Yeah.
Soft voice. No, sir, no, I think I might come a little bit late because my child is not feeling well.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? No, yeah. It's well. It's okay. Mm-hmm. You see that?
Mm-hmm.
Now, you find, when you are now talking to your husband, every time it's just me. Now, why don't you also do? You can wear that child, that baby a nappy. You see, the tone of your voice changes. Your husband now says, So, now, his love language, the word of affirmation, the kindness, you are not giving to him, you are giving to others. You feel not loved. Cook your food. If the man, your husband's love language is a word of affirmation, now you cook your delicious meal that you think that he will eat nice. He will just come. Maybe he will just test, and when you come back, your whole meal is covered in the plates. My husband don't want to eat my food. No, because you are not speaking his love language. His love language is not
good food.
His love language is for you to tell him, I appreciate.
Yeah.
In the middle of the month, I know you don't have so much, but you brought bread home. Oh, our hero.
The king
those,
of this house.
Those, yes, those love language, when you express them, the more you deliberately express each other's love languages, the more you maintain your spring
season. The more you provoke one another to love.
Yes, the intimacy also will be wonderful.
Mm.
But then I also want to indicate, dear listeners,
mm-hmm.
the love languages changes.
Mm.
Before marriage, after marriage, when you have children, when you are promoted, when you change from, relocate from one environment to another place, the love language changes. It's not the same love language of your spouse when there were no children in the house. When you have the firstborn, your wife will expect a different approach of love language.
Okay.
She will need, even if her love language was not quality time, this time around, maybe she wanted you to shower her more with gifts. This time, she will want quality time more than gifts. You bring a gift. She's having a sleepless night. The child is crying at night. She wants you to spend quality time. And you are there now over time. You are going for S&T. When you come back with all the money, she's not happy. I brought you what? Okay, thank you. But because it's not what she needs, her love language is no longer gifts now. Now it's quality time. She wants you to be there for her to be able to have hours of rest, peaceful rest, while you are attending to the baby, you see.
Exactly.
Awesome.
Ah, this has been a wonderful topic, honestly. And yeah, I feel like 2 hours were not enough to exhaust it. But Mr. Paulus, thank you so much for making time for us right here.
I give God all the glory. Okay. And dear listeners, as I give my number, maybe those who are just coming on air now, if you want to reach out to the Namibia Marriage Council, maybe you are a congregation, you are an organization, you are a family. Namibia Marriage Council is a faith-based organization, but we are not a church. We are spouses from different denominations. So you can reach out to us. We can come iron sharpen another. What you know and what we know, we can come and empower your family, your church, your community, your constituency. This is what we are doing. Most important, especially in Kavango East, where most of the couples started this organization.
Okay.
It's a national organization. Those who want to reach out maybe to our office, you want to get to find more information, you can contact us at this mobile number, 081-870-0341. 081-870-0341.
Okay.
We have a Facebook page. Go and put Namibia Marriage Council.
Yeah.
You can see some of our programs.
Okay.
Yes.
I think that was clear. And with that being said, we have now come to the conclusion of today's episode right here on Life Lessons, as we're talking about tips for a fruitful and a lasting marriage. And of course, we've covered also some explanations in terms of marriage. Now, with that being said, from Indafa Happy Juju, it is goodbye and have yourself a wonderful evening.
Lipura nengeno wapumbwa Eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nwe kutite opoye ekukulile oshafafana nongeshefa ili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshiwana onongeshefa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi toda njuka okukwetira oipindi konu konda doili nawa nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshefa omarudi tayo loka opone ushendife nawa nokumona oijamo ili nawa Ninge pata fanoa na Monica ko Eagle FM onora etatu imwe mbali heali nola natu heali bali no heali ileko derewa nora etatu natu bali o etatu atatu o mafilane Eagle FM the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere, countrywide.
What if I couldn't speak? What if I couldn't eat? What if I couldn't move? Would you still love me? What if my body ached and always made you late? What if I couldn't wait? Would you still love me? Would you love me when it's hard and our lives falling apart? If the things that we once knew were long gone? If our blue skies turn to gray and my memory fades away, would you still love me? Would you still love me? What if I'm complicated, always leaving you frustrated? Nothing ever went quite right. Would you still love me? Wish I could let you know what the future holds. It's a promise I can't make. Through the good and bad, happy and sad, love's a risk that we must take. Would you love me when it's hard and our lives falling apart? If the things that we once knew are long gone, if our blue skies turn to gray and my memory fades away, would you still love me? Will you love me when it's hard
again. I'd ask you to remember when we first met and fell in love. We were so young and dumb, but our love was so strong. Memories of those late nights, so I feel this fight. If I could speak again, I'd ask you to remember when we first met, fell in love. We were so young and dumb, but our love was so strong. Memories of those late nights, I feel this fight. Would you love me when it's hard and our lives falling apart? If the things that we once knew were long gone. If our blue skies turn to gray and my memory fades away, would you still love me? Would you still love me?